My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
No, don't worry. I'm not going to air you out, Dan. Although I do plead the fifth on your question for the last segment.
What?
I was informed one might be a little too young for me.
I'm going to look at, but you guys are freaking out Olivia Dunn's age. Let me see how old
she is. She's like 20, Dan. She's
no,
a TikTok star.
You're 23. You're 14. Are you upset that she's, you don't date older women? Is that what it is?
I don't date younger women. That much younger.
She is.
I think she's 20.
She is 20
years old. College, right?
I thought she was done with college.
LSU TikTok star.
Well, she's NIL. I think she is, maybe her and Shedeur Sanders are one and two when it comes to NIL earnings.
I did read that they actually, LSU asked her, because she's a gymnast. I think she also dates the Pittsburgh Pirates number one overall pick, Paul Skeens.
Who went to LSU.
Yeah, also went to LSU. But I did read that the university asked her to stop posting about her her gymnastic events on TikTok because there would be too many people that would come to watch her and these venues would get flooded. They would just get overcrowded and nobody could move anywhere. And it was like this she was, you know, like Rihanna, like this celebrity walking down the red carpet and just would get mobbed if she would post where she was at.
Wow.
And when she was competing.
Wow.
That's the only thing I know about
her. Hazard. That's interesting. I would think that it would be just the opposite, right?
What's up, Carter?
She's 21, just FYI.
Oh, so she's legal.
All right, well, I'm in.
So is it Olivia Dunn or Culpo, who is Miss Universe, by the way?
Put me on the stand right now.
I mean, Culpo's got to be in
probably
her.
Culpo.
Okay.
Although.
She's not making as much money.
I was going to say the net worth might be in the wrong direction. But
Culpo has 6 million followers almost on Instagram. She must be making something.
Well, she's also about to be making a little bit more because her soon-to-be husband, Christian McCaffrey, just got paid $24 million guaranteed by the San Francisco 49ers. So I think I'll marry into that.
Yeah.
Well, also, the McCaffrey family, just in general, talking about legends. They are the football
family. They got another younger brother, right?
Yes, he's a wide receiver, went to Rice. I forget his first name. Did he get drafted this year? I think he might have been undrafted. He was drafted. Okay. I know he was pretty good at Rice.
Giants, yeah.
Luke McCaffrey, I think is his name.
Yeah,
Luke McCaffrey.
Good job.
People were.
Do you remember Ed? Or are you too young?
I have spoken to Ed. I've actually interviewed Ed on this station, but I've never met the guy.
Okay.
I've only talked to him through the phone.
Former Stanford standout wide receiver. It's where it all started.
Oh, Luke McCaffrey's on the Commanders.
Okay.
He was taken by the Commanders.
Oh,
by the way, his dad apparently was a really good basketball player.
Yeah, great athlete.
Out of Pennsylvania.
It makes a lot of sense because the woman he married also was a 5-star collegiate, I want to say soccer player, and also played collegiately. So they were very, very talented.
Yeah, what a gene pool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that their eldest, Christian, is one of the best athletes that I've seen. Like, I don't know. We were having this discussion, by the way. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe, Saturdays, 95.7 The Game, taking up until noon. We are talking
about
the Bears.
What are we calling Carter? Are we going Carter Chickering, Stuart Hall Carter, King Kong Carter, or is it just Carter?
Chickering Hearn? Is that?
Chickering Hearn.
It's not bad.
Just Chick.
It's Chick.
Well, I actually like that. I mean, he's, again, the farthest thing. I was going to say,
he's not a chick. And I don't mean that in a, you know, misogynistic manner. Well, I mean, like, as far as a small chicken.
And if he was a chick, you're not dating that.
The guy's a rooster.
I'll go with Chick.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Chick. But I think with the 49ers and McCaffrey, like, that was actually the big news that came out this week from camp, of course, was everybody was wondering whether or not he was going to be there at the beginning of minicamp because it looked like he might be holding out for guaranteed money. He got it. He got 19 years over the next two, or $19 million over the next 2 years, 24 of it guaranteed. Prior to, he was playing without any guaranteed money on the last couple of years of his contract. By far and away, the best running back in the league. In fact, I would argue that in regards to position groups, his number one status as running back and the gap between him and the second best running back is farther than any other position. Like Mahomes to your second best quarterback, I don't think that gap is as far as McCaffrey to the second best running back.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, I think he's still underpaid based on what he gives the 49ers.
Yeah, because they continue to do this position by position. Why they get away with that, I have no idea. It should just be simply your impact to the team. Could you imagine if they were to say to Kyrie Irving or any other player, well, you're a guard, so your ceiling caps at $15 million a year. I mean, that's what they did to... That's what they did to Kittle as he's a tight end. Well, we can only pay you so much, even though at the time, he's your biggest impact offensive player, more so than Jimmy Garoppolo. But he was limited as to how much he could make because of the position he played, which was tight end.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think quarterback is obviously the highest paid position in the league. I think the second highest paid position now on average might be wide receiver, but for a long time it was left tackle.
Yeah, or the edge.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. Yeah, defensive line. Gosh, those guys are making big bread. Nick Bosa is, of course, the record setter. Was the record setter for a non-quarterback up until Justin Jefferson broke that with $35 million a year, 110 of it guaranteed, 88 of signing, all of which are records for a non-quarterback. And I think if you're Brandon Ayuk, that contract just made it more difficult if you're the San Francisco 49ers. But I think also, Dan, it made it more difficult for Brandon Ayuk because from what I've heard and seen, he doesn't really have a lot of leverage. Like, I think he's still going to get paid and it's going to be close to $30 million. But I do wonder when it happens because reports are they're not close. The talks have not necessarily gotten anywhere. And now Justin Jefferson gets this record-setting bag. Christian McCaffrey gets his bag, an extension before Ayuk does. I just don't see any reason for either side to budge at this point.
I don't know that the Justin Jefferson, the money and the numbers are going to influence the offer that the 49ers are going to give to Brandon Ayuk. I think the numbers are going to remain the same, even prior to, even to have Justin Jefferson not signed for that deal. I think, again, we talk about Christian McCaffrey and how important he is to the San Francisco 49ers. Well, the same holds true with Justin Jefferson, who are basically the Vikings were Justin Jefferson-centric. That's not true with the 49ers. While Brandon Ayuk is certainly good and deserves market value, the 49ers had more than one option. It wasn't just we live and die with Brandon Ayuk. There was Kittle. There's obviously Debo Samuel. There's so many things, and they had so many options because they're so star-studded. So it's sort of apples and oranges, and I don't think that's going to influence the numbers as much as people anticipate.
Well, that's an interesting dynamic to this negotiation as well, because I wonder where you fall in this, Dan, and Carter, you also. Do you guys think that because Ayuk isn't the focal point of the, he's the number one wide receiver, but he's not the focal point of the offense in terms of importance. It starts with McCaffrey. You could say on some days it's Debo. Some days it might even be Kittle after McCaffrey. Ayuk, I would say, is secondary. But do you look at his production and say, well, they don't use him a lot, so actually he's more efficient, he's more effective than he's being used as, or he's that good because teams aren't allowed to be attentive to him? Like, I've heard it go both ways. Like, I think Justin Jefferson is somebody that hasn't had a lot of help. Kirk Cousins has been a good quarterback, but they have in Minnesota, not really had much of a run game. The offensive line hasn't been great. They haven't had a great defense. So when he posts 120 yards a game, that seems legitimate. Whereas Brandon Ayuk has never had to face consistent double teams and being the focus of an opposing game plan.
I think at the beginning of the season, there might be some truth to that. But towards the end of the year, he was clearly their number one. And I think going into the playoffs, there was a circle around Brandon Ayuk. And he delivered in the postseason. So I still think, though, they're over the course of an entire season, can he be the focus? Can he, if you're going to get paid like a number one, be a number one type quarterback? Those questions still remain unanswered. I'm not necessarily a big IU guy. I think he's played well, and he certainly understood that this is a contract year, and he stepped up. But when you look at his body of work, you know, it was this year was sort of the outlier. I mean, Brandon Ayuk was sort of underwhelming just a short 2 years ago. So
he's gotten better each and every season.
No, he has. He has. And he's gonna get paid, but he's not coming into the Justin Jefferson neighborhood.
I don't think so either, but how do you kind of read that, Carter?
Well, I just think it's really interesting that not so long ago this guy wasn't getting on the field because Kyle was just didn't have faith in
him. Got him in the doghouse, remember that? Yeah.
And now we're talking about that this guy potentially is going to get a $30 million contract, you know? I mean, and Kruger brought this up yesterday, which is the 49ers are last in passes thrown in the NFL, you know? Do you want to put that much in your wide receiver room?
Well, I think it's about putting it in the room this year because obviously I don't think you took a first-round wide receiver unless you assume that one of your three guys in front of them, because I'll also put Juwan Jennings there, who got, you know, $15 million, 10 of it guaranteed this offseason, one or two of those guys is probably going to be gone. So that's why you take the first round pick. But I think for this year, I guess I don't look at it as investing, you know, $60 million into your wide receiver room because you're probably going to take a big chunk out of it this upcoming offseason or next summer. So I think with Ayuk, it's a position where the 49ers, they have to pay him. Like I just think they do. In order to keep themselves in the best possible position to win a Super Bowl, they need to pay Brandon Ayuk. Mm. But if you're Brandon Ayuk, and this is where I do think the Justin Jefferson contract comes into play, it's, well, if you want to pay me 28, okay, am I 20% worse than Justin Jefferson? Like, everything is now being measured against him. It's one of the big reasons. I think David Lombardi brought this up this week from The Athletic. It's one of the big reasons why there was this haggling by Lamar Jackson last offseason because of what Deshaun Watson got paid. Everyone knows that Deshaun Watson is not the best quarterback in the league the way that Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in football. But he got so much guaranteed money. Justin Jefferson got so much guaranteed money that Tyreek Hill's at 51. Justin Jefferson is at $88 million just at signing. So is Ayuk saying he's better than Tyreek Hill? Not necessarily, but he might be, you know, 10% less than Justin Jefferson in his mind. I just don't feel like either side has a reason to give into the other. And unfortunately for Ayuk, I also don't think he has much leverage in this situation because the 49ers could just say play on your fifth year or after that we'll franchise tag. Like both sides can play hardball, and that's why I don't see this deal getting done anywhere anytime soon.
Well, the only leverage he might have is that the 49ers recognize that we always talk about windows, that this is the opportunity yet again to win that Super Bowl. As you just mentioned, once Purdy gets paid, it's going to change the entire dynamic when it comes to players like that of Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and McCaffrey. So I think they recognize that this is the year. And while you don't have to pay him, we want a good and a happy and a satisfied Brandon Ayuk because this is our opportunity. While everything is, well, we still got arguably the best quarterback in the conference making less than $1 million. Let's just, you know, let's not argue this thing at the margins. Let's not get petty and ruin all of this. Let's just give him market value and go ahead and get that Super Bowl. And then, of course, once we pay Purdy, then it's time to reassess and we're going to have to say goodbye to somebody. And most likely it's going to be Deebo Samuel. But I think the leverage, if you really think about it, is the fact that everybody realizes that they have yet to win that Super Bowl. And once again, this might be the opportunity before Brock Purdy gets the chicken, as they like to say, before he gets his bag. You know, go ahead and certainly placate players like that, a Brandon Ayuk, because this is the opportunity.
Yeah, but I think that's where there's an issue. Like, you're right. The market will dictate what Brandon Ayuk is going to get paid. But which market or which player do you put him in the same group as? Like, I think it's also a pride thing of Brandon Ayuk wanting to be paid like other number one wide receivers. I don't think the Niners use him like these other number one wide receivers. That's why I think, in a way, it some people might feel like it's disrespectful, but like the Jaylen Waddle deal, I think it's somewhere around there as far as getting mostly guaranteed money. Maybe the Niners only want 3 years. Maybe Ayuk wants four, and or maybe he wants three and wants a chance to maximize a second deal. I don't know. I just feel like right now there is such a, it's hard for me to read where the market is right now and where people fall on Ayuk, because there's so many different ways you can interpret his production. You're talking about the postseason. I mean, in the Super Bowl, he had three catches for 49 yards. He's never had more in a playoff game than, I think, 80 yards. So it's not as if he has taken over a playoff game, which is what we judge many players on, whether it's McCaffrey, whether it's Purdy. I know it mainly gets thrown into quarterbacks, but Brandon Ayuk has not had a big marquee postseason game. He had a marquee catch against the Detroit Lions, but that was one of his three. So I do wonder how also people look at him in regards to the big moments, because if that's what we're really judging this season on, and I think we are, it's Super Bowl or bust in a way for the Niners this season because of the players that might be leaving next summer. But how do you judge, like, do you judge him just based on his 1,300 yards this year? Is a second team all pro? Or the fact that he has not had the big game in the biggest game?
I think you also have to take into account that this is the first wide receiver that Brock Purdy has developed some rapport with. So I think Brock Purdy, while he probably doesn't have any voice in this, I think that if you were to ask Brock Purdy, he would tell you that, yeah, we need this guy, because when things are going wrong, I'm looking for him. I've developed a chemistry with not Debo, with not Kittle, but as Brandon Ayuk. And Brandon Ayuk is my guy. So I think they have to recognize that and take that into account. Let me ask you something. Well, we always use the high end as the barometer, Justin Jefferson. Do you think he's a better wide receiver than Devontae Smith?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
But you can see how, you know, they're sort of in the same neighborhood. Devontae Smith for Philadelphia, I mean, when you talk
about... He's very good.
I would say that they're comparable. And I would actually put a gun to my head and say Devontae Smith might be a little bit better. When you think about Devontae Smith hasn't been in the league as long, when you think about the trajectory of that young man, well, Devontae Smith just signed for 3 years at 75, which comes to 25 per.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's comps you can run with Justin Jefferson. I can also run comps when it comes to the likes of someone like that of Devontae Smith, who is making $25 million a year.
Well, I think that's, we just talked about the high end and the low end as far as the money is concerned. I think personally, Brandon Ayuk is at this point in his career a better wide receiver than Devontae Smith. The comparison between him and Amon-Ra St. Brown is, I think, where a lot of people get stuck. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is a better wide receiver than Brandon Ayuk. How do you pay him more than Amon-Ra St. Brown? Because Amon-Ra is getting, I think, 28, around 28 per. You look at the guaranteed money, you know, it's one of the highest. I think it's, what, in terms of overall, it's in the 80s. So, I mean, I think, like, it's hard for me to say that he's worth more than that. But at the same time, the more that the 49ers wait this out, they might be costing themselves more money, because also CeeDee Lamb's got to sign. There's a lot of people that feel like if Brandon Ayuk was featured the same way that CeeDee Lamb is featured in Dallas, he might be able to put up those numbers. He might be a consistent first team all-pro selection the way that CeeDee Lamb is. I think CeeDee is a better receiver than Ayuk, but that's why I asked whether you interpret his production as a product of the offense or him being, I guess, you know, one of the primary pieces
of
that.
Product of the offense, but you could also make the case for Brock Purdy to a lesser degree. And I think that's just, when you're talking about the 49ers, there really isn't room for that sort of stardom. They're not really sort of, I mean, McCaffrey maybe, but I mean, this is Kyle Shanahan, who's probably the most innovative, hands-on offensive head coach in the league. And so there's really not the availability, the affordability for you to be simply go to, you know, when you get into this bartering stance and saying, look, it's I'm clearly Justin Jefferson and head and shoulders above everybody else on this football team, and you need me. There's a certain degree of that, but it's measured when it comes to the 49ers and all of their star players.
All right, David and El Cerrito wants to talk about, I think, a dynamic of this that gets a little bit lost. And I think one of the conundrums that the 49ers are facing right now in regards to Brandon Ayuk and the contract negotiations. What's going on, David? You're up with Evan and Dan on 95.7 The Game. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good morning, Cuba.
Yeah, yo.
I just feel that the position itself does not lend itself to paying guys, especially when you have another guy that you've already paid that much money, no matter how good he is, unless that person truly is the game-changing player in the league. If you're discussing, is he as good as Devontae Smith, or is he as good of another guy at a similar ilk, Chris Olave, or whomever it might be, I think you said to yourself, if he got hurt before an enormous game, you'd be like, that's really bad, really bad, but can we still win this game? But if McCaffrey gets hurt before a big game, or Trent Williams gets hurt before a big game, you're like, we're screwed. And I think when it comes to wide receivers, they have figured out that a lot of other guys can step in and make these plays. There are just too many athletes in the NFL that you can find later in draft, et cetera, that fill that void. And whether it's good as one guy or another guy, it's almost irrelevant. And a lot of these receivers never respect that they do as well as they do because of the team that they're on and the position that they're in. Like, the kid on the Jets is phenomenal, but he does nothing because they have a terrible situation. So I just don't think you can lay out this much money to a guy, because if other things fall apart on the Niners, he'll fall apart as well.
I mean, I would say that where the Niners want to go, though, Dan, if Brandon Ayuk wasn't available for an NFC Championship game, I would be worried, to be honest. Like, I would be worried about that offense. Yeah, not as much as if Christian McCaffrey was missing.
Well, I think that's the point he's trying to make, is that if I'm going to pay you that sort of money, I would have more a level of concern if Deebo wasn't available than Brandon Ayuk, quite frankly, if it's a big football game.
But that's also the reason why I think Deebo is perceived as the odd man out, is because Ayuk doesn't miss games. Like, Deebo does. Deebo is more of an injury-prone back just because of his usage and how he plays, frankly, than Brandon Ayuk. So Brandon Ayuk is the more traditional, prototypical wide receiver. He's also the more steady and a player, the more steady of the two, but a player of what you know what you can get. Like, you know what to expect when Brandon Ayuk steps on the field. It might not be 150 yards and two touchdowns, but you know there's a guy that's going to be out there for 85, 90% of snaps, is going to block his ass off when he's not running routes, and is not going to get hurt. That you can't say about Deebo.
No, that's true. And he's a good wide receiver. I don't think he's worth Justin Jefferson money. In fact, I wouldn't call him expendable. But to the caller's point, when you're talking about wide receivers with the 49ers, or any sort of offensive position when it comes to Kyle Shanahan, more often than not, it's next man up. Like, The 49ers are not necessarily dependent on Brandon Ayuk being back with his football team as far as them winning a Super Bowl. I know it's a large statement.
Wait, excuse me?
If Brandon Ayuk does not come back to this football team, it's not going to be the end of the day in terms of them winning a Super Bowl.
Ooh, yeah. I would disagree with that.
You can disagree with it, but the point being is that if Brock Purdy's not available, You're going to be, you're not, if it's, if Dobbs is your quarterback, then you're not going to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
If McCaffrey's not available, even if Debo's not available, if Kittle can't play this year, if Trent Williams can't play, I can overcome Brandon Ayuk, believe it or not, not being my wide receiver. Now, I got to see a lot more out of this kid from Florida, and there's going to be a lot more on him and Juwan Jennings, but I'll still be okay. That's just my feeling. And so when it comes to negotiations, I would take that into account. Like, he is not, this is not a Brandon Ayuk-centric football team. To me, he is the product of a lot of the innovation that is Kyle Shanahan and the ability on those shallow crosses to get more rack, I think, because out of the system than any other wide receivers in the league. Now, don't get me wrong, he's good. You'd like to have him, but is it a deal breaker? if I don't have Brandon Ayuk, not to me.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Ricky Pearsall, or as I've been seeing some people call him, Yak Harlow, the newest first-round selection by the San Francisco 49ers. I'm glad you brought him up, because I think he does factor into the negotiations. Not on purpose, but the Niners took him for a reason. And there was also something that came out yesterday from Matt Barrows of The Athletic that I thought was interesting in regard to the Ayuk situation versus the Bosa situation. It caught my ear. And if I'm Brandon Ayuk and I heard that, or am under what the Niners are treating him like right now, I actually would be a little bit pissed. So if you want to comment on that, if you want to talk to Dan about him not thinking the Niners are Brandon Ayuk centric, if they need him, if they don't, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone with you on Saturdays here on 95.7 The Game. We're back after this.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone. We are halfway home here on a Saturday on 95.7 The Game. Night to noon, as always. Night. Oh, the game was fantastic. I was just telling you, of course, I remember a lot of it. I remember the parking lot, and I remember the walk-off ninth inning. Everything in between is a little hazy.
What's the pregame like?
It was a true Coliseum experience. Yeah, so I swear to God, like every time you go to the Coliseum, you probably get this as a city.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Guy, like when you go somewhere local, you eventually run into people you know.
Yeah.
Like, so
that's always fun.
You're usually there in the parking lot. I had a clue that one of my boys was going to be there. So it was supposed to be like a reverse boycott night. People go show the A's that they still want to, they want to keep the team, even though they're leaving at the end of the year. And so I figured a few of my boys would be there. So I just texted one of them, like, yo, are you here? He said, parking lot A6. Usually on the north side, that's kind of where we used to be back in the day. So myself, Big Chick over here in the back, along with Director of Sports Lucas Alexander, my brother, his friend, my other friend Natalie, and my new roommate Aaron was kind enough to come along, got her first experience at the Coliseum. So did Carter. And I love sharing the parking lot, which was basically just, I don't know, a setup in a frat scene, to be quite honest. of people playing flip cup or beer die or beer pong, whatever it is. And, you know, you get a little loose in the park a lot. You head in about the second inning and you figure out if the A's have won or lost yet.
Okay. Are we eating anything in this pregame?
Not enough.
Okay.
Not enough. No, there was, not a lot of, I would say not too much food consumed, but people bring hot dogs and burgers and, you know, like that is the one difference I would say between the Coliseum and now Oracle Park is there's not too many places that you can tailgate like in San Francisco. I mean, I guess you can set up down in one of the parking lots, although it might not be allowed. I'm not sure. I haven't done a Giants tailgate in probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 years.
Well, there's no
years.
Parking lot.
Well, you have to go down to like one of the further lots, like in Mission Bay.
Yeah, I know. But essentially, there's no parking lot, which was sort of that was done by design, right? Because they want what's in vogue now, these downtown stadiums, so that all the commerce and the restaurants and the bars surrounding the stadium is where, you know, economically they want to live and thrive.
Yeah, but it does get rid of some of the pregame experience. Like it's the same thing in Seattle. Like the Mariners at T-Mobile or whatever it is now. It might be T-Mobile Park. There's no place that you can go park and tailgate and kind of congregate before the game. It's just all in these little side alleys.
Yeah. No, it's a lost art. I'm with you. But it's part of the reason why people don't like where the A's currently play, because it's not a downtown location. Like, that's the blueprint now.
Oh, yeah. Like the league and the teams don't, because it's not as much of a, you know, an economic force.
Well, that's the only way they see things, yeah.
No, that's true.
But from a fan standpoint, there's nothing better.
Hotels.
Yeah, going to the parking lot of the stadium in which you're playing in.
Well, I've been there countless times, but Carter, I'm curious. Did you enjoy your experience last night at the Coliseum?
Yeah, big time.
Was that your first time?
Really, my first time, yeah. Wow. I thought it was so difficult to see the score of the game. I mean, I just really struggled with that.
Why is that?
Because, all right, the scoreboard is, they're throwing a lot at you. First of all, it's not as big as the Oracle Park one. There's two of them. They're on basically the two foul lines. And they're new, but there's a lot to read. And it's kind of hard to figure out like where the radar gun is, where the count is, the score. And the color schemes don't make it easy to differentiate, especially if, you know, you're a little gassed up.
Do they still have the ivy out there beyond the bleachers?
The ivy? No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, they still have Mount Davis, though.
Oh, that's right. Mount Davis. Yeah.
I think you're thinking of the 80s. Like, I've never been to the Coliseum and been able to see the Oakland Hills in my entire life.
Wow. That Mount Davis just, that capped everything. That's when it's just like, oh my God, this is not the same experience, man.
No, but I will say back in the day when they used to get like for a big game or a playoff game or even fireworks and they would open up the upper deck, dude, getting up there, you are high.
Speaking of which, literally
and figuratively. So actually, we'll get into the 49ers in just a moment. I appreciate you, Austin and San Jose, for hanging on. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, Carter Chickering with you here on 95.7 The Game. But it was a fun experience. It's fun for me to share those, collective experiences that I've had my entire life, having gone countless times with people who haven't gone before. So Carter went for his first time. My roommate Aaron went for her first time. And yeah, we all just got to sit around and enjoy a baseball game.
This is the bigger story is that you have a female roommate. I'm just saying that speaks volumes about you. No, I could never back in the day I was never a roommate kind of guy, but I would have to live with guys.
You were never a roommate kind of guy?
But I'm just saying if I did have a roommate in college, I could not live with a woman.
This is 2024. We live in the city. I need roommates.
But you have no issues with it being from the opposite sex?
No, she's very nice. I mean, if anything, I feel like I'm more protective.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, no, she's also, I don't want to put her business in the streets, but she's an intern at a prominent,
I guess my problem is back in the day when I was running the streets.
Grouping.
Back in the day, it's that I would just categorize women as, one of two things. Either someone I was dating or someone that rebuffed me. So I could never, there was no middle ground.
You have a sister, though.
I do.
So what do you mean you've never been a...
What, am I going to live with her?
You never lived with your sister?
But you mean in terms of, like, as...
You shared...
Getting an apartment together?
You shared... actually, I don't have to share a restroom, but... No, like you share things with your roommates.
I hear what you're saying. It's just sort of like, something.
I'm learning about
Carter,
you, Dan.
Would you just call him Chick? What? That was a great name.
Big Chick.
Big Chick. Where are you at with female roommates?
You got to do what you got to do.
Okay. Wow, you guys are
she can
much
make
more
rent.
Progressed than I
that's,
am.
That's
man.
All I know.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, as long as I'm getting the check right. on the 28th or 29th of every month, I appreciate it. So shout out to our roommates.
Well, actually, it's probably more appropriate if I was asked the woman what it's like living with the guy.
Yeah, if anything, it's harder for her. I mean, yeah. myself and Mark Grandy are roommates, and so our third moved out. We had to fill the spot. She was cool, moved in. As long as it's cool with her, it's cool with us. I mean, we're the ones that are trashing the place and coming home stumbling from Coliseum baseball games at 2 a.m. Or at least I am. Well, don't want to speak for Grandy. But we are, we were talking about the San Francisco 49ers as well as, I don't know, probably like a myriad of things. Dan, I feel like we stumble into so many different subjects throughout the show, whether it's on air, off the air.
I can't wait to go Danny Hurley on you.
I want to save that because I'm going to rip him just for you, and I'm going to do that in just a little bit. We do have a couple people on the phone line right now that I'm going to wait for Carter to scream before we get him on, but 888-957-9570 is the number. I want to play this piece of sound from Matt Barrows, Dan. It's on Brandon Ayuk, and I thought it was very interesting because one of the, I guess, you know, reports or kind of thoughts from the first week of minicamp, which is if you're not there, you get fined, right? So I think over the course of 3 days, it comes out to be like $100,000. And the 49ers, I just assumed, were going to pick up that check because they did the same thing for Nick Bosa last offseason when he was holding out. But that might not actually be the case and why this negotiation between Ayuk and the 49ers might not be contentious, but might be a little more tangled than we envision. Here's Matt Barrows from The Athletic on it.
I don't want to say it's contentious, but difficult negotiation right now with Ayuk. But you know, so was the Deebo Samuel one. So was the Nick Bosa one. And they both eventually got done. It is interesting, though, that the 49ers used a first-round pick on a wide receiver. That wide receiver has played well this spring. I would think that that only strengthens the 49ers' stance at this point. I still think something's going to get done. I still think it would be a travesty if, you know, Brock Purdy went into this season without his favorite target. All those fines will start piling up in the summer. No indication that the 49ers will forgive Ayuk for absences the way that they did for Nick Bosa.
And so, I mean, you heard from Matt Barrows right there, Dan. There's been no indication that they're going to forgive his fines. That would piss me off a little bit.
I love Matt Barrows, but when he says that Ricky Pearsall has played well in the spring, talking shorts and t-shirts, right? I mean,
just saw him in pads.
I mean, yeah.
Or a helmet.
Yeah, I mean, we're not, I don't think you can pass any judgment on the guy until we get into the bullets are flying for real, right? Live bullets, live ammo, and we'll just see what sort of football player he is. Right now, it's just like, yeah, he looks good. And he's quick and all those sort of things you get excited about, but it's still spring football. Let's just, you know, when we strap this thing on and somebody, you know, we'll just find out a lot more about the guy when we get into a game situation. But I hear what it is that he's saying. And I think that the 49ers, and they've just been down this road so many times. I mean, this is not nearly as vicious as Deebo Samuel. I mean, I think that if we were to relive that, it was almost, I can remember doing shows that it was almost imminent that Deebo was out the door. And Nick Bosa got really ugly as well. And that thing was about as protracted as it gets. I mean, that went nearly into the season. So this isn't foreign to the 49ers. And they know exactly what hand they're dealing with. And they know exactly where they're at and where their offer is going to be. And I think the 49ers, when you talk about leverage, I think the 49ers have it. Again, because Brandon Ayuk, to me, is not Justin Jefferson. And he is not as vital to this football team winning games as some of the other pieces that the Niners currently have.
But now you got me thinking, though, and I want to pose this. 888-957-9570, also the number for the Xfinity mobile text line. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone here on Saturdays on 95.7 The Game. Which situation has been the most tense? Ayuk's, Debo's, or Bosa's? Because I actually think that this Brandon Ayuk contract negotiation has been the most tense of the three. And the reason is because I don't think he has as much leverage as the other two. Remember, Deebo was coming off an all-pro first-team season.
Well, define tense, that they might leave?
That there's, it like, I just don't think either's, like, I have less confidence. I think Ayuk's going to sign.
Yeah.
But if he played his fifth year, like, I guess, well, Deebo didn't have the option to play his fifth year. Bosa held out until close to week one. But I always thought that those deals were going to get done.
Like, really, Debo? I would say Debo, again, not knowing the...
Because Brandon Ayuk wasn't a factor at that point, as much as he is now.
But if you're talking about a player potentially leaving, I thought Debo was much more tense. Like, to me, let's keep in mind where Debo was 2 years ago. I mean, he was... We're talking about how no one can clearly be centric on a 49er football team aside from that of the quarterback. Well, Debo was that guy. I mean, the 49ers were Debo or bust, if you remember. And he was coming off that big, big playoff run
against fantastic.
The Rams and the Cowboys and throughout that entire season. And when he said, you know, basically gave the throat slash on one of his, you know, social accounts, and it looked as though he was, you know, potentially gone. And he meant much more to the football team, I think, than Brandon Ayuk.
I agree. And that's why I also felt like the Niners were absolutely going to give him the bag and we're going to bring him in. I think they're going to pay Ayuk because they want to keep this band together. But yeah. I don't think they're as, to your point last segment, I don't think they're as dependent right now on Brandon Ayuk as they were in 2021 on Debo Samuel.
No doubt.
I mean, he was Christian McCaffrey before Christian McCaffrey in regards to his importance and place in the hierarchy of this offense. I don't think Brandon Ayuk is that now, but I think what we're trying to figure out is it just the going rate? Is it the market? Is that what gets it done? Or is it the fact that the Niners have more ammunition to play hardball? Because again, when I hear from Matt Barrows that there is no indication that they're going to just excuse his absences, that they're going to force Brandon Ayuk to pay $100,000 or potentially continue to pay fines for his absence from camp or mini camp, you know, future team affiliated practices. Like, that is big to me because I have not heard, or I just didn't assume, Dan, that was even on the table. I just assumed they're going to pick up the check because Brandon Ayuk's their guy and they're just eventually going to get this thing done, which is what they did to Debo. And they also picked up Nick Bosa's check. And he was one that looked like he may have held out into the season.
Yeah.
So I just feel like this situation is more tense than the other two. I could be wrong, but 888-957-9570 is the number. Austin's been waiting patiently in San Jose. What's going on, Austin? You're on with Evan and Dan. How are you, my man?
Hey, happy Saturday. Yeah, you should actually be playing the song Money, Money, Money for the love of money. we're talking about this morning. Rich guys getting richer. I always find that kind of interesting. But listen, I'm a non-Niner fan, so I'm going to come at it from a different perspective. I think that the Shanahan, this is Shanahan kind of shenanigans, if you will, right? I think Shanahan likes having the upper hand on his athletes. I think he loves being the boss and keeping guys kind of wondering about their money, their chicken. I think he actually, this is part of his deal. Lynch tends to talk too much, in my opinion. He talks about Purdy breaking the bank or someone saying resetting the quarterback market. I mean, I don't know why you have to go out and make those kind of comments, but anyway, that seems the way the 49ers do business. But I do believe, and I said this earlier this week, I think that Shanahan believes he can get it done without Ayuk. I don't think he perceives Ayuk as being a Justin Jefferson type receiver. I think he sees him as important and vital. But, you know, you give a guy $30 million, you keep saying the 49ers want to run it back and they need to have him to make a run this year or Super Bowl. You wouldn't give a guy, you're not going to give a guy that kind of money just to make a run this year. I mean, that's not the reason why you would do it. So I just think all in all, I think they could, I can see a potential where they could go in a different direction and see what they can get for Ayuk. I mean, this reminds me of when Khalil Mack was let go, different situation by Oakland with Gruden. I mean, they couldn't get it done with him. I mean, people were saying how great this guy was, but the 49ers didn't win a Super Bowl with Ayuk last year. So, I mean, who's to say they're going to come back this year and give him $30 million? That doesn't guarantee you win a Super Bowl. One last thing, guys, on Debo. I said 2 years ago when they signed C-Mac, I thought that was the end for Debo. I'm surprised, honestly, that Debo's still on the roster. I thought he would have been gone a long time ago. And I heard from my brother yesterday in Baltimore, and maybe I missed this, but the feeling back in the Ravenland was that Debo was heading to the Ravens. And people were actually starting to talk about Lamar and Debo being on the same team. So I don't know what I must have missed out. Did you guys hear anything about Debo going to Baltimore? All right, guys, enjoy today. See ya.
Debo Samuel to Baltimore. I know there was some ideas about, I think, a trade, and the Ravens had reached out. And I think Deebo Samuel would fit really well in that offense. Perfect. I mean, out of the backfield, on the outside, I think he'd work with Lamar. But in regards to, I don't know, like, to me, Dan, like, the reason to pay Ayuk is to keep yourself in the same place, which, yes, Austin's correct. They didn't win a Super Bowl with him. They were in overtime of a Super Bowl. Like, they lost the Super Bowl by 3 points. So, if you lose Ayuk, I do think you take a step back offensively. What it might come down to, and the question a lot of people might have surrounding it is, all right, well, how good is Brock Purdy without Brandon Ayuk? Can he elevate his game? Can he be more productive without his number one wide receiver? Because I think that's also a question he'll have to answer down the line in a year, maybe 2 years. But will he have to do it in the immediate, before he gets paid? Like, when he gets paid, he's going to lose weapons left and right.
Well, what's the first thing that people always bring to mind when we talk about, okay, if, when you sign Brock Purdy and he's making $50 to $53 million a year, whatever that number is going to be next year. Now, he's got to play well again this upcoming season. But when you can't afford to have McCaffrey and Kittle and Deebo and Brandon Ayuk, what are you going to be like? And people always, they don't hesitate and they point at the Kansas City Chiefs. And they're like, well, look, it. The Kansas City Chiefs still win Super Bowls. They're still the franchise by which everyone else is measured by. And Patrick Mahomes continues to stack hardware. And they reshuffle his quarterback or his wide receiver room almost every year, whether it's Tyreek Hill or whoever is in and out of that place. So it lends to the point that you can win without having a quote-unquote number one, especially when it's a system like that of Kyle Shanahan. I'll stop short of calling Brock Purdy a system quarterback, but the system is a real thing when it comes to the Niners. And it's a good thing because it's more than just one guy. And especially if that guy's Brandon Ayuk, albeit he's good, he is not somebody that I would consider a necessity. And I stand by, again, a lot of this depends on the emergence of a Juwan Jennings and Pearsall, and we'll see what it's like when the bullets are flying for real, whether he's that guy. But you'll be okay. And aspirations of winning a Super Bowl, if you go hardball with Ayuk and he's not with his football team, I think the 49ers will be absolutely fine. As, again, and I'm not saying that to poke the bear. And I think that a lot of this, you know, it could have been taken... It should have been taken care of probably a lot sooner rather than later to avoid a lot of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pearsall's the other wrinkle in this, and it's another reason why I don't think Ayuk has much leverage. It was a confusing pick to me at the time just because I was curious as to how Pearsall was going to get on the field. But if you're telling me that the Niners are okay with playing hardball with Brandon Ayuk, then maybe Pearsall can get on the field. You know, maybe he is your second or third wide receiver should you decide to do something drastic. By drastic, I mean moving on from Brandon Ayuk one way or another. Or perhaps just not even paying him and forcing him to play on his fifth year. I just think it's all fascinating at this point. Again, hearing Matt Barrows of The Athletic say that there is no indication that the 49ers are going to excuse the absence of Brandon Ayuk and essentially force him to pay fines that they did not force Nick Bosa to pay last offseason when he held out almost into week one. So 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan getting Dan DeBone here on Saturdays on 95.7 The Game. Let's get out to Lamar and talk to Michael about the contract situation. What's up, Michael? How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you guys doing?
Awesome, man. What do you got?
I disagree. I don't think we'll take a step back if we lose Ayuk. Kyle Shanahan can create an offense around three popsicle sticks and a jar of mustard. And ever since... You also brought up a point. I think that's a good point you brought up about Brock Purdy. You need to see who Brock Purdy truly is without Brandon Ayuk. Because you want to make sure you're comfortable enough to be giving him $45 to $50 million a year. And also, there's going to be a lot of guys leaving next year. And the biggest ticket item that's going to be leaving is Diamond Lenore, who stepped up big time the past couple of seasons. And you're going to need to pay him. And also, what if Trent Williams retires? I mean, we're going to have to find a left tackle and also pay him big money. That's the second most important position, I think, on the field. And also, there's Aaron Banks you've got to pay. And Javarius Ward is due for a contract extension as well. And so on and so forth. And you've seen what this offense looks like without Deebo Samuel and Trent Williams. It went completely flatline. And we were, before CMC got here, We had no identity on offense. Our run game was non-existent. CMC turned this team around when he got here. He brought this offense back to life. Brandon Ayuk does not do that. And I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that. And if I were the 49ers, I would trade him to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a second and third round pick and also Pat Freiermuth, because we're going to need to find an heir apparent for George Kittle eventually, which we have yet to address. And I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that.
Appreciate the call, Michael.
Lamar coming strong.
Yeah.
Central Valley.
I don't know, Pat Freiermuth is the answer.
Have fun in 105 degrees in the shade today out there in the beautiful Central Valley.
Well, it's, I might choose that over just the dead fog. Dude, it is cloudy. I can't see across the city right now. I can barely see. I was making this mistake yesterday, Carter. It's not the Continental, but what's the one up by the Fairmont?
I think it's the Mark Hopkins.
The Mark Hopkins.
Why are you asking him? You kidding me?
We're talking
who's
about this
across
yesterday.
From you?
Yeah, the most bougie man at 95.7 The Game. That's who's sitting across from me.
You know, to Lamar's point really quick, the 49ers, though, we have to give them credit. They've set the market a couple of times, and they've done well by their players. And they, I think that they do a really good job in deferring money and being sort of ahead of the curve when it comes to contract negotiations. They're really astute. And whether it's Prague, Marate, I don't know who you attribute it to, but it sort of reminds me of back in the day with Bill Walsh, where they would just do it one way and the rest of the NFL would do it another. But I mean, look, Nick Bosa set the price. Who else am I leaving out?
At the time, there was record-setting deals. Like, Fred Warner reset the market.
Reset the market?
I think before Shaq Leonard overtook him. But he did set the market at the time. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo reset the quarterback market back in the day. Kittle was at one point the highest-paid tight end of the league. Kyle Juszczyk, technically, is the highest-paid fullback in the league. And then I think even Trent Williams also reset the left tackle market. Like, they've given players record-setting deals before. I don't think this is going to break the bank in that sense, but it is going to break the bank from the standpoint of you might have to pay Brandon Ayuk $30 million per year. All right, I see a Gene in Oakland. I see a Jimmy in Bayview. We're going to get to you on the other side as we continue this conversation. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone, 95.7 The Game. Is this the most tense contract negotiation in recent memory for the 49ers? I think between Deebo Samuel, Nick Bosa, and Brandon Ayuk, this is the most tense contract negotiation that I have seen since covering the 49ers. Do you feel the same? Do you think it indicates a place where the Niners might divert from Ayuk? Do you think it's just much to do about nothing? When I hear the Niners not forgiving fines, that signals to me that they're not budging. And I also don't think Ayuk is budging either. We'll continue to break it down coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.